Could have been so many things you would have done today, but you decided to come and worship the Lord. And He rewards them that what? Diligently seek Him. Do it on purpose. Have just a wonderful, kind of different word today. I'm excited about it, and I think it's going to bless you. I hope everyone does, but every word that we bring does. But today I want to talk about generational blessings. And we've heard about generational curses, right? But what about generational blessings? Is God more interested in blessing you or cursing you? Okay. We say when you kind of understand that, it's a good thing. I was thinking along these lines and about my own life, my own generation, and the people that have been here for a while and how their lives have been blessed, have been altered, have been helped because of the church. See, I love our church because it blesses generations. I was thinking also not only about me and those of us who've been together for a while, but also I was thinking about, I'm thinking about children, our children, my children, your children, of those who have been faithful, who stuck with the Lord, who loved the Lord, who gave the Lord their best, and how their lives, and I've talked to several this week, how their lives are so amazingly wonderful. Every single one of them. Now, I'm not trying to say that every child that's ever been here has come out well. It's because they haven't. But the reason is because they weren't serious with God. They were coming because it was just a thing to do. But those that were diligent, those that did it the way it was supposed to be done, it was just been an amazing thing. And I look at your children, you know, I look at the little ones coming up now. And I know that they, if they will just stay faithful to God and be serious with God, not just love Him, but be faithful with Him and be serious about Him, that their lives are going to be awesome. Because church blesses generations. I want to show you this verse that we're springing from. It's the one we've read a couple of times. It's in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20. And it says, "Now to Him who is able to do immeasurably more than we ask or imagine." Now, even though we ask it, God can still do more, right? How much more can God do than we even ask? Immeasurably. You see that? Ask or imagine, according to His power, and then this power we find where? In us, that this power that is at work within us. As we come together, there's a power. To Him be glory in the church. God gets glory from His church. And in Christ Jesus, throughout what? Throughout all generations. For how long? For how long? Forever and ever. That's a long time. All generations forever and ever. So when we look at that, when we look at the church and being a generational blessing instrument, we find that we should love a church because it blesses us, it blesses our children, it should bless our grandchildren, and so forth. What that simply means is what I'm doing today is going to bless my grandchildren, great-grandchildren, and even generations down the road that I'm never going to see on this earth. But not only will it bless in that direction, what I'm wanting to really capitalize on today and make you see is that you're being blessed today because of previous generations, because of your ancestors. How many of you, don't raise your hands yet, let me cover the spectrum here. How many of you had a mom or a dad or a grandmother or a grandfather or a great-grandmother or a great-grandfather that you can look back into your ancestors and they were church-going, God-loving, Christ-following, Bible-carrying Christians? How many? See, that's so many of us. And what I want us to see today is that so much of the blessings that we experience in life are due from them. I have in my hand here my grandfather's little New Testament. I have another one of his. I'm pretty sure it's his. But anyway, it's so special to me because it's got his name in it, and he's marked some passages and done some scribbling in it. But see, what my granddaddy did as he worked for the Lord and laid up his treasures, I'm benefiting from those things. How many of you think that your ancestors, your mother, father, grandfather, grandmother, whomever, how many of you think that that's influenced your life today?
Do you think it made any difference in you? I mean, imagine now. Imagine there being no church. Imagine it being like before Noah, when men's thoughts were only evil continually, and there was only evil on the face of the earth. Imagine a time like that, where your ancestors were pure evil, and all they did was worship idols at best. Now, what kind of a person would you be? What kind of an influence would that have on your children? What kind of children would you be rearing if there were no church that blesses generations forever and forever? Now, we realize this, and you see, and what those ancestors did is like what you're doing right now. Do you believe that what you're doing right now is going to influence generations in your heritage to come? Sure it is. So, how does this work? How does God do this? How does this work? Well, how many know you're laying up treasures in heaven? Right? Let me read you this scripture. It's in Matthew chapter 6. Jesus said this. 6:20, he says, "But store up for yourselves, treasures in heaven." Now watch, where moth and rust do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. In other words, it's protected, right? It can't be stolen. It can't be wasted. The bank in heaven does not need the government to step in and help it. Right? It's there. It's protected. So if you had ancestors, and most of you said you did, who served God, who obviously laid up treasures, because when you get an automatic account when you sign up for Christ, who laid up their treasures in heaven, if they laid them up and they didn't use them, where are they? Are they still there? And if they're still there, then who has the right to them? Wouldn't it be good if we can learn how to tap into all those treasures that all of those generations prior to you laid up? Let me read you this scripture. It's in Deuteronomy chapter 1 and verse 11. And it says here, "And may the Lord, the God of what? The God of your ancestors, multiply you," how many times? "A thousand times more, and bless you as he promised." The Lord is saying here, leave that up there for a second. The Lord is saying here, listen, I want to bless you. I want to bless you so badly. This is so important to me. This matters so much to me that I promise it. I'm going to make you a covenant. I promise you. I make you a covenant that I'm going to bless you because of your ancestors 1,000 times more. How many could use a little of that? So there are blessings coming to us because of them. Can we comprehend 1,000 times more blessing? How about 1,000 times more wisdom? How about 1,000 times more opportunities? About 1,000 times more health? How about 1,000 times more income? Would that be good? I was thinking along these lines, and I remembered my dad and my granddad specifically, but it's also my mother and my grandmother. And anyway, they went through the Depression, and they made like 10 cents to 25 cents an hour. 25 cents an hour at one time was good. They did it to survive. 10 cents or 25 cents an hour. Now, I think they're worth more than that. But at any rate, just thinking about those lines, every once in a while, it's not what God's called me to do, but every once in a while, I get invited to go to churches and minister. And I was thinking about one church we went to a couple of years ago, and I was teaching them my temperament study. And I taught 4-hour sessions, and they gave me over $1,000 for 4 hours. Actually, I think it was about $1,600. Now, you do the math, and you'll find out that that's over 1,000 times more. And what I'm trying to show you and say to you is God promised. And His promises are real. His promises work. And if we can just learn how to tap into these things, these blessings that God wants to give us, it's so important to Him that He promises to give them to us, if we can just learn how to tap into them. And if you're a Christ follower, you have to know that your parents wanted you to do better than they did. If they were godly parents, surely they did, right? I mean, okay, let's do it this way. How about you? Do you want your kids to excel the place, the spot in life that you've acquired? Sure you do. And you want your grandkids to do better than your children or you did. You want them to continue to do well. And one of the ways that God works this through and makes this happen is by the treasures that you and your ancestors have laid up in heaven. God loves you. And He wants to show you that love. And a way He does it is by allowing you access to the treasures. Now, how many has heard the teachings on generational curses? Okay. And probably where you heard that from was from the book of Exodus, where God is giving the Ten Commandments. But when you study that and look at that, God's not really talking about cursing you there. God's really talking about blessing you there. Let me read it and then we'll develop it just a little bit. Exodus chapter 20 and verse 5, God's given the Ten Commandments, which should be on God before me. And He said, you don't worship no idol, right? And then He says in 20 and 5, you shall not bow down to them or worship them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing the children for their sin of the fathers, your ancestors, to the third and the fourth generation. And that's usually where the teaching stops. That's not where God stops. He goes on right there and He says, to those who hate me. So is this for everybody? Who's this for? Those who hate Him. Now, the way the teaching, and before it goes down, put it back up there for me. Before it goes down, look, I want you to, is that a period or a comma at the end? So there's more, right? Okay, I just want you to notice that before I get into it. You see, what we're usually told is that I'm responsible for, I'm going to have to pay for the mess ups of my dad, the mess ups of my granddad, the mess ups of my great granddaddy, and mess ups of my great 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 grandfather. That's kind of the way the teaching goes. But that's not what God is trying to emphasize here and share. Yeah, if you hate God, look out. It's not only going to be your mess ups you've got to pay for, but you've got to pay for all theirs. But, comma. Now, remember, when the scriptures were written, God didn't say, okay, let's go now to next verse. I want to go from verse 5 to verse 6. So now we're going to do Exodus chapter 6. Right, Exodus chapter 6. That's not what God said. Chapter 20, verse 6. That's not what God said. He's in a flow here. He's communicating a thought. So He says that, I'm going to punish those who hate me, comma. Next verse, next rest of that thought sentence. But showing love to what? Showing love to 1,000 generations of those who love me, period. What is and? A conjunction, right? And we're hooking up to with this next thought, and those who keep my commandments. Now, it's one thing to love God. It's another thing to love God and keep His commandments. In other words, be serious with God. See, a lot of people love God, but they're not serious with God. And who God blesses, now, so we already showed you in Deuteronomy where you're getting the blessings for 1,000 generations or 1,000 times from the generations before you. But now what I'm showing you is that after you, for 1,000 generations, They're going to inherit good stuff from the treasures that you lay up. Because you love God and because you were serious with God, they're going to get blessed. God's emphasis here is not, I'm going to punish you. God's emphasis here is, I'm going to bless you. And your part is to love me, and your part is to do the best you can to be serious about me. And if you will, I will bless you, and I will bless your children, and I will bless 1,000 generations after you because of you. God shows you love and gives you blessings because you and your ancestors love Him. So if somebody back there in your ancestry loved God, you got some benefits from that. And if you love God and you try to do the best you can to keep His commandments, to serve Him, to be serious about Him, then you're going to be a blessing for generations down the road. Now, every one of us have had times, haven't we, when we just kind of stumbled into blessings. We don't know where it came from. It just happened. And we just say, well, that's just a big, good coincidence. No, there's no... God's not a God of coincidence. God's a God of promise. And so you know, you see somebody back there prayed. Somebody back there loved God. Somebody back there loved God's Word. Somebody back there was serious about God. Somebody back there sought God, went to church, read the Word, did what was right, gave, ministered, tithed, loved people, ministered to people. Somebody back there laid up treasures so that good things can happen to you and for you. It's not coincidence. It's a promise. He says, I'm going to bless you. I promise you I'm going to bless you. Now you can think, can't you, of maybe some times when you just got blessed. Have you ever been pulled over by a law officer because you might have been going a little fast or did something that you shouldn't have been doing, and maybe they just didn't cite you and let you go? Has that ever happened to anybody other than, wow, yeah? I'll tell you a story. Judy and I were coming back one day from, I don't know where we're coming back from. We're coming down 136 on the other side of Villanelle, coming this way. Rise Hill, double yellow line, right? Most of you have been there. All right, but in front of me is this tractor pulling this harrow going 20 miles an hour. Double yellow line. So, you know what I did. Here I go. And as I get over here, over the hill, here comes a Georgia State Patrol. In front of the Georgia State Patrol is this little lady who freaks out because I'm in her lane. Now, it's not that close. And so the State Patrol has to, you know. And so, of course, he lights, turns, comes, I pull over. He walks up and says, you know what you're doing? I said, yes, I know what I did. And he says, I saw the tractor. And he said, just wait just a minute. I gave him he wanted my insurance card too. So I gave him a license and my insurance card. Went to the car, radioed me in. Now, didn't he? He came back apologizing for stopping me. I'm sorry, but you freaked the little lady out. I had to make a statement. Yes, sir. I'm not going to cite you. I'm not even going to give you a warning. He says, I just needed to make a statement. I said, thank you, sir. He gave me back my stuff. And the story doesn't end. That's good right there, right? But it doesn't end there. I get home, and a day or so later, I get a letter from an insurance company that says my insurance lapsed. And it's lapsed like a month ago. And I said, that can't be. I just got checked. So I go out to the car, and I get my insurance out. The same paper I handed the guy, the officer, I look at it, and sure enough. Now, either he can't read, or there was something about me he really liked, or God just blessed me. How many of you maybe got a promotion you weren't looking for, a raise you didn't deserve? Maybe you married a spouse that you did not deserve. You have these wonderful children you can't explain. Or maybe you're like me, you got a job, a great job, that you never planned for. Just kind of. You see, these aren't coincidences. These are God reaching into those treasures and blessing those who love Him and who try their best to keep His commandments. My point is that many blessings that we experience in life right now are blessings because of those ancestors that we had who loved God and who sought God. And from that, we get the blessings. Now some people may say, well, you know, Delbert, I'm successful. I have a good life because I went to college. I grad. I work hard. I studied hard. And in part, that's true. And there is no substitute for education. There is no substitute for hard work. But somebody before you put that desire in the gene pool. And they desired, they honed their skills, they honed their abilities, and this was added to the gene pool from which you were made. And even in that situation, your temperaments, your desires, the things you love, the life you live, comes from those things as well. And so as we look at this kind of thing, you know, we start seeing that I owe a lot to my ancestors who loved God and who diligently sought God. Many of the things that we get and we experience in life were things that our parents actually desired and prayed for but never got to experience. The first time my parents came up to see us before either of them passed away, came up to see us, of course, before they passed away. But they came to see us. And we had just moved into what then to us was a new house. This was 20 plus years ago. And so we invited them to come up. And I gave them directions to get to our home. So they came to the driveway. And I was outside waiting on them. It was about time for them to get there. And they came to the driveway and they looked at the house. And our house sits upon on a hill. It's a two-story and it sets upon a hill. And they looked at the house. They stopped, looked at the house, and then took off again. And I'm out in the yard, and they didn't see me. And they drove on. And I said, well, now what do? Do I chase them? Do I wait for them to come back? So I waited a few minutes, and sure enough, they came back again. And I'm out there this time, you know, doing this, and so they pull up the driveway. And I said, what were you guys doing? Why'd you keep going? And they said, well, we saw that house, and we said, that's too big, and only rich people could live there. Now, you know, we laughed. And our house is a two-story. It's a nice home. And again, this is 20 years ago. And so it was really nice, you know, nicer then and compared to things. But anyway, I was thinking about that. You see, my mom and dad moved from Miami, Florida to Griffin, Georgia when I was 6 years old. And Daddy, they sold out and moved up there, bought some property. And Daddy dug a basement with a pick and a shovel. No backhoe. With a pick and a shovel. He dug a basement. And then he concreted it and plumbed it and walled it and put a flat top roof on it. And we lived in that house for years. And then as they could afford it, they would add to the house. They would build. Dad could lay blocks. He was a mason. And so he continued to build it. And it took years and years and years for them to get that house. In fact, when Judy and I got married, it wasn't quite finished. It was just about finished. But I never really got to live in that house. Got married and started our own home. But it took Dad and them all those years just to get. And it wasn't a bad home. It was okay. But it was good. But what Mama was saying to me was this. You know, she didn't say it, but this is what was going on. Is that they sacrificed everything for that house. They paid the price. They wanted it. They desired it. They dreamed for it. They worked for it. They labored for it. They battled for it. And here I am, and they were in their 50s or 60s before they got it done. And here I am in my 30s, and I've already got a bigger house and a nicer house than they had. So many things that we get to experience in our lives because of our parents and our grandparents who just loved God and tried to do the best they could. We don't understand it, but so much of what you're doing and what I'm doing today is laying a foundation and the groundwork for our children and for the generations to come. We don't quite understand how all that works, but it does. What you're doing in life today is going to benefit 1,000 generations behind you. David, King David, we just studied his life. We saw his minimal beginnings. He was just a little shepherd boy living, in a real not expensive lifestyle. Be right back. This is why I bring this, in case that happens. And he lived, we've studied his life. He lived in caves, and he lived in the wilderness and the deserts and all those things. But yet God blessed him. And you look back at his heritage, some of those blessings had to be because of David's heritage. But anyway, God blessed him. And then David's desire and hope and the thing he wanted to accomplish in life more than anything was build the temple of God. Stay with me. This will pass in just a second. I hope. But he wanted to do that more than anything. And he worked for it. He battled for it. He prayed for it. He wanted a temple for God. That was the thing he wanted. But David never got to build it. Who got to build it? Solomon, his son. Now, David provided everything. David provided the money. David provided all the materials for it. But he never got to experience it. Solomon did. Solomon never had to live in the wilderness and caves. Solomon got to experience all these wonderful things because of David. And the temple existed, but it existed because of David, because of Solomon's father, Solomon's ancestor. What in your life exists because of your ancestors who loved God, who served God? King David, he died around 1015 B.C. And Solomon followed him. And then there were these other people in his generations. And you may say, well, Delbert, you know what? I look back and I don't really have any godly parents, or my parents didn't serve God, or I look back and I really can't find anybody that was really loving God and seeking after God. No, you're missing the whole point. It's for 1,000 generations. God tells you, look, I'm gonna look for 1,000 generations for a way to bless you. And it's 1,000. Surely somewhere back there, I bet you if you look far enough, you would find the most dedicated, Christ-loving, Christ-follower, church-going person that you can possibly imagine. And somewhere back there, there was those blessings. And David died in 1015. And when you look down his lineage, you know, there were some bad, evil people down there that weren't serving God. And so I was thinking about this as I was preparing this lesson. Four generations after David died, 4 generations, it was 100 years, and there was like four kings and their sons that ruled after that, we find a guy named Jehoshaphat. And Jehoshaphat, well, let me read it to you. If he looked at his dad and his dad's dad and his dad's dad's dad, they were evil. But let me read this to you. In 2 Chronicles chapter 17, verse 3, it says, "And the Lord was with Jehoshaphat." Now, let's ponder that. What does that mean, that the Lord was with? When the Lord is with you, you've got favor. People just do stuff for you. You have blessings that come from nowhere. When the Lord is with you, good things happen. And the Lord was with Jehoshaphat because, now get this, in his early years, he started off as a young boy doing this, because in his early years, what? He walked in the ways of his father or his ancestor, who? David. Now, the Lord was with him because of David. His life was blessed because of David. And followed. The Lord established the kingdom, set him up, gave him his job, gave him his position in life. The Lord established the kingdom under his control, and all Judah brought gifts to Jehoshaphat so that he had great wealth and honor. Why? Because of David. And God wants us to see this today. 100 years later. Now, the 3 generations prior to him, which were Rehoboam, Abijah, and Asa, were evil. You got to go all the way back to Solomon to find anybody that ever sought God. But yet, 4 generations down the road, 100 years later, Jehoshaphat is being blessed because of David, the man after God's own heart. Beyond that, 300 years after David, 300 years. We read this most interesting story, and I never saw this until this week. A king named Hezekiah is now ruling. And Hezekiah is sick. And Hezekiah is dying. God sends Isaiah the prophet to him and says, tell Hezekiah that he's going to die to get his house in order and that he's not going to recover. So Isaiah goes and tells him. Pick up the story there. 2 Kings chapter 20, verse 3. Hezekiah turned his face to the wall and prayed. He began asking God, seeking God. Pray to the Lord. Remember. What would you say, remember? Remember. Now, what I want you to see is it's okay to remind the Lord to remember. He hasn't forgotten. Sometimes we just need to remind him. Remember, O Lord, how I have walked before you faithfully and with wholehearted devotion. I've done the best I could to love you. I've done the best I could to keep your commandments and have done what is good in your eyes. And Hezekiah wept bitterly. Isaiah, before Isaiah could get out the door, God spoke to him again and says, go back to Hezekiah and tell him this. Watch, this blows my mind. 2 Kings 20 verse 2, 20 verse 5 says this. This is what the Lord, the God of your father David, 300 years later, 14 generations, I counted them, went to the kings all the way back to David, 14. This is what the God of your father David says. I have heard your prayer. He heard his prayer because of David and seen your tears. Now watch this. I will heal you. He's healed because of David. I will heal you. On the third day from now, you will go up to the temple of the Lord. You're not only going to be healed right now, Hezekiah, you can't even get out of bed, but 3 days from now, you're going to have enough energy to go to church and worship me. On the third day, you're going to go to the church. I will add 15 years to your life. Who's ever heard of... Do you, you know... Whoa! Because of David! And I will deliver you and your city, your family, your friends, everything you love, because of David. From the hand of the king of Assyria, I will defend you, I will defend the city. Now watch. For my sake. Have you ever seen that before? For my sake and for the sake of who? My servant, David. Goodness alive. Wow. Your life will make a difference. 14 generations down the road. But don't miss the point. Your life is being blessed and partially what it is today because of somebody 14 generations back up the road. Wow. There's health in ancestry. There's healing in ancestry. There's deliverance in ancestry. My family's set free. My life has added years because of what my ancestors did serving God. Whoa. You know, there's a story of the children of Israel. You know the story. This is good. We're going to keep going. You know the story of the children of Israel. How that they were in Egyptian slavery and bondage. 400 years they were in slavery. But that didn't catch God by surprise. You see, it goes back to Abraham. God made a covenant with Abraham. And while making this covenant with Abraham, God told Abraham this in Genesis 15:13. It says, then the Lord said to him, know for certain that your descendants will be your descendants will be strangers in a country not their own. And they will be enslaved and mistreated 400 years. Now, this was four generations before it happened. But I will punish the nation they serve as slaves, and afterward they will come out with great possessions. Now, 400 years. Now, this happened. There was Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph. And then they went into slavery. And for 400 years, they were in slavery. And for 400 years, those people were laying up treasures in heaven. For 400 years, something was going on. They were being mistreated. For 400 years, they were not getting what they deserved. For 400 years. And you know what happened? God sends Moses. Moses supernaturally delivers them by the hand of God. Let my people go. They come out. And before they go, as they're leaving, as they're exiting in Exodus, here's what the Bible says, Exodus 12:35. And the people of Israel did as Moses had instructed and asked. This is so important. You got to ask. And ask the Egyptians for clothing and articles of silver and gold. And the Lord caused the Egyptians to look favorably. Look favorably on the Israelites. And they gave the Israelites whatever they asked for. So like a victorious army, they plundered the Egyptians. Now what just happened? Go all the way back to Abraham. Here we go now, like 400 or 500 years later. Because of Abraham, and Abraham walked with God, had a covenant with God, had a promise from God, and now all of these people down here. Now, I want to make sure we get to this point. For 400 years, those people didn't get nothing. For 400 years, they didn't get a dime. They were enslaved. They were in slavery. The generation who got it, the generation who were able to tap into all those treasures that were laid up in heaven for all of those years, the generation that got it was a generation that stood up and said, we're going to walk with God. We don't care if it's going through the wilderness. We don't care if it's having to go through a Red Sea. We don't care what we're having to do, but we're going to walk with God. And that was a generation that tapped into all of those resources, and God blessed them. And they came out with silver and gold and clothes and everything else you can imagine. It was that generation. Likely, you've had ancestors that were mistreated. Didn't my dad and my granddaddy were surely worth more than 10 cents an hour? Well, God kept tap of that. I've had ancestors who were in bondage, slavery, to addictions. God's kept tap of that. I ask you, see, what would your life be? Imagine, what would your life be if all your ancestors loved God, served God, did God's commandments, benefited, grew financially, did things God's way, blessed themselves, and left this inheritance to the next generation, and financial inheritance and health and wealth and all of these good things. What if all those generations had done that? Where would you be today? What kind of life could you possibly be having today? What kind of wealth could you possibly be enjoying today? What kind of health could we possibly be having today had they all did what was right in the eyes of the Lord and got the blessings of God? Well, let me tell you something. All that's laid up. God's kept tab. And it's the generation, it's the people that'll rise up and say, God, we're going out of here. We're going to walk with you. We don't care if it's going through the wilderness. I don't care. I don't care if it's going through the Red Sea. I don't care if it's going around mountains. I don't care. We're going with you. It's that people. Is that you? You know, I'm bold enough to believe it's me. I'm bold enough to ask God for that inheritance. But remember, it's not just those who love God. It's those who love God and are serious about God. Some of you are the ones who left Egypt. I know your lives. I know that you're the ones who turned things around. your family was in bondage, and you have made the change. You've made the difference. God's going to bless you. You changed history. You need to be bold enough to say, God, I want my inheritance. God loves you. And instead of saying, I can't get a break, say, my God is well able to supply all my needs according to His riches in Christ Jesus. Right? Instead of saying, oh my goodness, I never get treated right. No. Say, all things work together for good for those that love God and those that are called according to His purpose. Well, I can't pay my bills. No. You just got to do it God's way. And then you got to look back and you got to say, I got 1,000 times more blessing coming upon me. You got to change the way you think. Get out of Egypt. Walk with God. Get positive. I told you a couple of weeks ago, get your hopes up. Every morning, get up and say, Lord, surprise me today with another blessing. Let one catch me today. And if you do, here's what's going to happen for you. See, blessings come through the church. Generational blessings come through. I love it. Don't you love it? Don't you just love it? I love our church. It blesses generations. But God's promised you that if you'll lay up treasures in heaven, that you're going to be a blessing for generations to come for you. But also, He's promising you that generations before you have laid up treasures for you. And He wants to bless you with 1,000 times more, and He's promised it. He's made a covenant with you. And if you'll step into this, and if you'll be bold enough to do what Hezekiah did, and roll over and ask, and remind God, if you'll be bold enough to do it, then here's what's going to start happening in your life. Your life's going to be blessed. You're going to have opportunities that are just going to come and catch you. Doors are going to open that you've never expected to open before. You're going to have blessings you don't understand. Your children are going to be better than you can ever expect. You're going to do better at work than ever. You're going to have more wisdom. You're going to have answers to problems you've never had before. Your marriage is going to be better. Everything about life gets better because God says, I promise you, I'm going to bless you. When these things start happening to you, now, give glory to God, right? And we then say, thank you, Grandma. Thank you, Grandpa. Thank you for serving God. And when these happen, now, I want to hear about them. I want to hear how God has just supernaturally blessed you. Let's pray. Father, thank you. You're an amazing God. You're an amazing God. You promised to bless us. You look for ways to bless us. And so, Lord, I ask you today that as we've heard this word, that, Lord, you'll take it now and you'll deposit it, that we've been sponges and that we've absorbed this. And this is in us like a seed now. And it'll bring forth fruit. And we'll be bold enough to ask you. So with your heads bowed and your eyes closed, you'd say, Delbert, I am. I'm going to be that generation that stands up and says, I'm going with God no matter where it leads. I'm going on. I'm getting out of my Egypts. I'm going on with God. I'm going to be the generation that gets the blessings of God. If that's you and you're determined to do that, you're determined to go on and be serious with God so you can get His blessings, would you just raise your hand and say, that's me, Lord. That's me. I see your hands. I see your hands everywhere. Head still bowed and eyes still closed. Now, some of you aren't where you need to be with God. Now, remember, it's not just love God. It's love and keep His commandments. It's love and be serious with God. And you know you haven't been. You're not where you need to be with God. Your life isn't being blessed. Good things aren't happening. You can turn it around right now. See, Jesus came so that you can get right with God. Jesus came so that you can have life and that more abundantly. So if that's you and you know you're not where you need to be with God, right where you're sitting, I just want you to slip your hand up and let me pray for you right where you're sitting. If that's you, would you raise your hand? Say, hand, one. Any others? Two. Any others? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Three. See, another one. Let the Lord work. Just respond to Him.